You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? I'm the other girl, and here's Jessie.
Hi, guys. It's me, the host of the show, and that one.
That one.
Oh, no, we can't start a new train. We can't have
I was
them
gonna
call
say,
you
oh, I have enough nicknames that are not my name already. I'm Lily, if you didn't know. Hi. I'm just going to drink my drink.
Hello. Welcome back to our beautiful show where we do have things we want to talk about today, but it's a little all over the place, so you're going to have to bear with us.
Those ones are usually fun, though.
I know. We usually just talk a lot when this happens, when there's like multiple topics that are kind of all over the place, but there is a few like main ones, and then we may go off a couple trains, and you know, that's what we do here, so hopefully you enjoy it.
I mean, actually, we were going to do 8 Passengers updates, but...
We got them covered already.
It was like, but then I kind of just like couldn't stop pulling videos and just did voiceovers and stuff. I did want to clarify one thing, though, that I had seen that was super alarming, and then I found out that it's not true. Basically, people are saying that there was a panic room under Jody's house. P.S. If you haven't followed any of the 8 Passengers stuff, either just skip to the next chapter or watch our last video, because it's very thorough. But there are reports saying that Jody had like a panic room under her garage and that there was a Fort Knox door, which is those doors that have like the giant like wheel. It reminds me of like a ship. I guess it's more like bank-esque, but turns out apparently the 911 call or the, like the police scanner, the audio that's going around has 2 calls in it. And the one for the 8 Passengers kids like interrupts another one. And it's the other one that's talking about the Fort Knox door.
Yeah. So people were reporting it as Jody had a panic room under her house and like they were locked in there. And everyone was obviously very concerned by that. But it doesn't seem like that's at least true for them. I'm like, wait, but who is it true for?
I don't know. But the way it's phrased in the 911 thing, it's like he said there's a door. So it sounded like the kid had told the police like where
Got
to look,
it.
But someone was like reacting to it blindly and then it started spreading. So turns out that is not the case. And they were probably just held in a normal room, which isn't any better, but
yeah,
at least
for sure.
Slightly less alarming. Other than that, I don't think there's any other real updates. There's been like some more quotes from the neighbors, but nothing revolutionary.
JK, there is an update. Apparently Kevin Frankie's lawyer has done some more talking and get ready. In an interview with Good Morning America, he said, quote, "He is a good person. He is very gentle. And no one's ever made any allegations that he's ever physically abused those kids or anyone else." Interesting choice of words there. He's never physically abused. Doesn't say anything about other kinds of abuse, though. Probably because the entire internet has made those allegations, but anyway. The lawyer then added that Kevin Frankie's main objective is the safety of his kids. He just wants to do what's best for his kids. Get them back, get them under his tutelage and his fathership, and protect them. Now he wants to protect them. Great. What about the last however many years that we all witnessed him and his wife grossly mistreating all 6 of their kids? Where was the protection then? So that was from Good Morning America, but Randy Kester also made an appearance on News Nation on Wednesday, where he stated that his client was not aware or present in the St. George home where the alleged abuse took place. He pointed out the children were in the custody of their mother for the summer, and she had taken them out of Utah without Kevin Frankie's knowledge. Kester then said that he was unable to comment on the behavior of Ruby Frank in any ill manner because the parties involved were trying to, quote, "keep the kids out of social media and do what we can to get these kids back to a good life." Okay, first of all, I don't know how speaking of Ruby in any ill manner would have anything to do with the kids being on social media, because this is a news station. But furthermore, where the hell was this sentiment the last decade, Kevin? You want to keep them off social media now? That's convenient. Also convenient is that when pressed for comment on Kevin's time in the home during the making of the 8 passengers log, Kester said that he would make no comments on any accusations leveled against the couple while they were still together. That's probably because Kevin knows he's guilty. Anyway, as of now, that's pretty much the only update, other than Ruby will be making her first court appearance on Friday, and she apparently has yet to enter a plea. So we will see how that goes, but that happens the same day this episode is going up, so we'll have to wait till the next one to update you on that.
The thing people are worried about is just if the dad is going to get custody since he hasn't been arrested, which I feel like they... Well,
I don't know. It's really complicated in cases like this. From what we talked about last time or what you did in like the update, it seems like CPS is reluctant to just like willy-nilly like give them to anyone in the family. That's what it seems like, which is good, I think, just for the time being.
And not to mention that the dad's lawyer had also said that they are still married. I feel like that would kind of play into the fact that it's like if he's not arrested and they are still married, even like he has a lot of ties to her and like all the video evidence and stuff over the years, the fact that they haven't arrested him is shocking to me. So I'm like, maybe they don't have enough to arrest him, but like I don't think they're gonna give the kids to him.
I really hope not. But we did try our best to update everything. That's why our video last episode was a little late, because we Lily was adding like a billion updates, and it's hard because we do film this ahead of time so we can get it edited to you guys in time, and unfortunately that leads to a lot of updates happening while we're editing. And so we have two choices. We can either film or do voiceovers, or sometimes it's like way too late where it'll be like the day we upload, something comes out. And so some people will come in and be like, you forgot this. And we're like, we didn't forget. It just happened like right after. Like it's difficult to stay up to date. But Lily, round of applause, did a wonderful job with all her little updates. I loved it.
Thank you.
You slayed.
I mean, since they had YouTube deleted the channels, that meant there were no channels to pull the videos from. So I had like a bunch of like memories of clips that I've seen that I was trying to find. So I'm like searching different things on TikTok, and it just was like 6 hours later, I had pulled like 100 videos, and I think I'm permanently scarred.
It's so important though that you did find those clips and that they live on, not for like we blurred the children's faces and stuff because we really don't want to further hurt those children. But it is so important for people that don't remember Ruby or weren't here along the journey to know those warning signs, because we do need to fucking make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, because a lot of you pointed out in the comments, like, yeah, Ruby's a fucking monster, but it is clear that once Jody got in the picture, things did start escalating. And then when Kevin left the picture, then it got even worse. So just to see the progression of everything it was really disturbing, because also there are a lot of clips on my computer that I didn't include because the video would have been 2 hours long. And oh my God, you guys, I literally would feel nauseous after watching some of them.
Yeah, some of them like made my heart actually start racing. Yeah. And I just started feeling really angry because it's so obvious, especially knowing what we know now, but like always it was so obvious. Her children are terrified. They were so terrified of her response. They never knew what the fuck to say to her because she was so confusing, so contradictory. She also like played crazy mind games with them where she would manipulate them into apologizing for things. There was one where she made her daughter apologize for asking what movie they were gonna go see.
Go ring.
We are going to a movie, so go get on your shoes.
What is it?
What? Does it even matter? If someone asked me if I wanted to go to a movie, I wouldn't ask, what is it? Run and get your shoes or you're gonna not go. Hurry! Mm-hmm. Everyone run! Hey, this is Ruby. I was wondering, is Brooke available to babysit? Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. What a good idea for spring break.
Mom, I'm really sorry.
Well, good. I will call her again. Tell her I will call her again.
Sherry.
Okay, have fun.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Okay.
Babysitter's not available. I am not taking Eve, unless you come and give me a huge apology. You come give me a hug and you come say you're sorry.
I did.
No, again. Where I can pay attention. It was not very thankful of you. I was excited and I told you to go get on your shoes and your jacket to see a movie. And you should say, okay, and be grateful. Instead of, well, what movie? Well, I don't know. Let me think about it. That's not very grateful. And I'm not going to take a girl who's not grateful. Can you show some more gratitude? Okay, give me a big hug.
And she's like, you don't ask people what movie you go see. I'm like, who the fuck doesn't ask people what movie you go see? You just go watch a movie? Like, literally, it's just insanity. But she would play these games where the daughter would end up being like, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. And hugging her. And it's just, like, really fucked. It is so beyond fucked. So I'm, you know what, though? Random thought. Where the fuck are their mugshots?
I don't know. I feel like those would have made the rounds
already. I looked everywhere yesterday, and honestly, I'm kind of pissed. Of course. Why the fuck? Well, because why the fuck are they, like, allow the dignity of not having their mugshots out there? I want to see both of your mugs right now.
I don't know. Because I know they are public, so
yeah.
If they've been taken, then I feel like people would find them. But maybe there's a reason that it's being, like, delayed.
Maybe. But maybe also Lily's a really good detective, and maybe she finds them, and we put them right here. That would be really slay, but maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see.
The next topic that we're going to cover is actually one we've been trying to cover for like a fucking month now, and it just has not happened. Like, we literally filmed it for our Lost episode, our infamous Lost episode.
You need to stop bringing that up because people are going to think there's something there and there's really not.
That's so funny because I actually went to a concert with Alex and he asked me, he's like, okay, so what was this Lost episode?
Send me the Lost episode.
Girl. I was like, girl, it ain't shit. Don't worry.
It wasn't even like a fun rambling one. It was like we were really tired and just not.
Yeah. There's been an interesting series of events of influencers supporting James Charles recently. And I've noticed it over the past, what is it now, like a month since he launched his brand Painted. We did talk about the launch, I think, through that article that we covered about James Charles. Remember the Cosmopolitan one?
Briefly, because I was confused because it was like paint in the commercial. But then I found out that the makeup, their paint.
Is paint. Yeah, literally. So when he launched it, I wasn't sure. Like, I knew that people like Manny MUA supported James Charles. I knew that because there's been evidence of that over the years. But I wasn't really sure what creators would be willing to openly support James Charles because a lot of time has passed since his allegations, admitting to those allegations. You know, he sat on camera and referenced the people that he spoke to that were minors as victims, if we all remember that.
To the victims, I am so, so sorry.
Then he realized, oops, I just admitted guilt. Let me delete that really quick. And then always from this point forward, refer to all of this as bullshit, basically. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, and speaking of years passing, I actually brought this up to Jesse off camera because a lot of people will bring up the time he went on Logan's podcast and
talked about how he likes young looking boys.
Yeah.
I'm not physically attracted to older guys, which sucks. Like, I would date like the absolute youngest, like 18, 19 that looks a little bit older, or like 24 that like has a young personality.
Okay.
But at that time, he was like 21. He's 24 right now. So I was thinking about that interview. And then I was thinking about that article that we read where he says that he feels like a club bouncer because he has to check IDs. And then I, like a few weeks later, connected the two and was like, when you're 20, that makes a little more sense. When you're 24, you shouldn't be going after people that still might be younger than 8. Like, I have never once felt the need to, like, clarify if someone was over 18.
I feel like him saying that confirmed even more so that he has an issue with wanting to date younger men or younger boys, I should say. Like, yes, there are situations where, like, you know, there's that ongoing joke of, like, people don't look their age nowadays and, like, you never can tell or whatever. But once you're a certain age, like, I'm 30 fucking years old.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's, like, a threshold that you pass that it's like, yeah, maybe you can't tell the difference between, like, a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old these days because they're both wearing a lot of makeup. But, like, you can tell when someone's over 18 for the most part. Yes, there's exceptions, obviously.
Yeah, well, there is that added layer, too, is that he's interested in boys. They don't usually typically wear makeup, you know? So it's like, you don't even have that girly pop. It's like, if someone's struggling with every fiber of their being to grow, like, a tiny bit of facial hair, you should have a question or two. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, some grown men don't have beards, but let's be real here, sister. Like, you know what I mean? Do you remember the exact, like, what were the messages that he had admitted to? That part, like, because it's been so long, I do get a little foggy there.
Sorry, I got distracted because I had searched James Charles to find his age, and he defended the Lopez twins. They're not twins. The Lopez brothers. Those creepy ones that were in the
Oh, the ones that got caught talking to minors? And they used to be friends. Yeah, they're infamously in the background of James Charles' horrendous cover. One night stand, boy, I wanna be more than a friend to you. of what was it?
Yes. And they just feel like super awkward and out of place. Yeah.
But they were actually caught and admitting to talking to underage girls. And the mom even confronted him on a phone call.
It came out, and it's all confirmed.
So James Charles defended them?
January 2021, Charles faced backlash after defending two TikTok stars, 22-year-old Andreas Lopez and 19-year-old Xavier Lopez, after they faced numerous allegations of grooming underage boys. Charles tweeted in solidarity with the victims. However, users claimed he defended the Lopez brothers back in June. He tweeted, "Sexual assault is really fucking serious, and it's absolutely disgusting that making false allegations is becoming a trend right now." Of course he tweeted about this then. "All it does is invalidate actual victims when they feel ready to come forward. Victims deserve to be heard and should never be invalidated, but it's insane that anonymous newly made accounts are popping up with stories and people are just believing it. With no proof at all, I'm not defending anyone, but there are always two sides to every story."
It sounds like you're defending him, James.
That was January, and then February 2021 is when a 16-year-old boy claimed Charles groomed him and pressured him into exchanging sexual photos via Snapchat. Charles spoke out against the allegations and claimed that he had been unaware of the boy's age at the time. So I guess he did exchange
sexual photos with a
16-year-old. And then it says Charles continued to post on all of his platforms as though nothing had happened. That same month, three more males came forward to share their negative sexual experiences with Charles. A 17-year-old boy shared screenshots alleging that Charles had continued to flirt with him via Instagram message even after learning his age. A third man of an unclear age came forward to share his negative sexually fueled conversation with Charles. So that one doesn't say whether any of them are true, and they all say alleged.
Well, even if it was just that one 16-year-old, but I know it was multiple because he did admit he referenced two victims is like what he called them in his video, something like that. I don't know. I think that so much has happened and he has done his absolute best to bury the fact that he admitted to doing these things that people have, quote unquote, forgotten. And like me, I forgot the details of that because it has been a long time. And it kind of like brings us to the larger conversation of canceling and like whether that actually fucking works or not, because I think enough time passes where people are just like, okay, whatever. People get tired and they forget and we move on with our lives.
Same month, a 15-year-old boy used TikTok to share screenshots from conversations and photos that he had exchanged with Charles. After the boy started sharing the messages on his Snapchat story, he claimed Charles had blocked him and accused him of lying about his age, even though he said Charles had always been aware of his age. And then the next month, Charles puts out the video and he apologizes to, quote, two different people, both under the age of 18, citing desperation as the reason it happened.
Well, I was about to say, like, the most infamous part of that fucking video was him saying, I'm desperate. Like, that's why I did it. I'm desperate.
Yeah, well, and then it even says a week later, a full week after he had admitted to the inappropriate conversations with minors, brands continued to stand by him publicly, including Morphe. "We understand your concerns and we take this situation very seriously. Morphe does not condone inappropriate online behavior of any form. It is and has always been our goal to create a positive, safe, and empowering space where all beauty lovers can freely share their artistry and passion for cosmetics. We have actively been looking into the recent allegations against James Charles and have suspended marketing of the Morphe James Charles collaboration while we continue to evaluate and monitor the situation."
Please, please let me in on what that investigation looks like. I'm dying to know.
Yeah, like what?
But also, that's a very interesting choice of words. They're suspending the marketing, not the production, not the selling. I guess the whole point is like, I don't know. People like Ethan Klein have been hammering it in like pretty much consistently throughout the years. But for the most part, we would bring up James, or like people would bring up James in situations where, like, I don't know, there was a point where Tana Mojo was calling him out and saying he was scary, but then all of a sudden now she's also hanging out with him.
I was just gonna read hers is next on this timeline, and it says, because there's a tweet from 2019 where she is responding to that guy Gage that he brought to Coachella, and she said, "I watched you lead on and kiss my friend for a whole weekend, and when he realized, you got scared and made a video lying and accusing him of being a sexual predator, ... sad face. Legit, watching you lie like this and get away with it breaks my heart. He's a person too. You and I know the truth." But Kat Tenbarge tweeted that out in April 2021, and Tana responded to it and said, 100% manipulated and begged to tweet that. I was defending someone that was my friend at the time and believed them. Sad to see. I later reconciled with Gage and discussed it, apologized, heard his side of the story, and now I call him one of my closest friends. Things change.
Yeah, things do change because now you're hanging out with James Charles.
It was like, she's back and they're friends, so.
This is my biggest bone to pick with James Charles, though, is that he did it, he admitted to it, and now he's pretending it never happened. That is a big fucking issue because as much as he wants to act like, oh, I'm a club bouncer now, I check everyone's IDs, I don't believe you for a fucking second, number one. But number two, we have proof because you said it in the article, you're still trying to date people on Instagram. You're still using social media to date people.
And I just think it's interesting that he also like tweets that he had that statement where he goes, accountability is something that I've spoken about a number of times in the past. Spoken about, but not actually taken.
I'm so far less interested in apologies. People hyperfixate on apologies and certain things. I'm so much less focused on that and so much more interested in what follows it and like what someone actually does, because that's the only thing that actually matters in any situation. And all he's done is try to pretend that never existed.
Well, here, in that statement, and this is like 2 weeks after that video came out, he said, accountability is something that I've spoken about a number of times in the past. In my most recent video, I spoke about and took accountability for my part. Oh, for my part in conversations I had with a few. Ooh, and now it's a few individuals, not a couple. He took accountability for his part in conversations that he had with a few individuals who told me they were over the age of 18. As I said in that video, I can't show change overnight, but will over time. And now we are here 3 years later, 2 years later, and he literally just did that interview and was like, saying he was a club bouncer. So
I know that when we discuss people supporting him, there's probably going to be a few people that are like, well, what, do you not want him to like literally exist? Like, do you not want him to continue on with life? Is he just supposed to like hide away in a dungeon forever? Me thinking about that, I just think that there's a difference between allowing someone to exist, you can exist, go do your thing, and then actively supporting that. I think that those are two different things. I think that as an influencer, if you are today actively publicly supporting James Charles, I think that is a problem. I think that's making a statement that you do condone the things that he's done, because he has not taken accountability, because accountability isn't deleting your apology and pretending it never happened, but he has continued on to do basically the same shit he was doing. We don't know that it's with minors, but we know he's being reckless enough.
And he tried to take advantage of the fact that people were making up some of the stories. And he said, since posting that video, many other people have come forward with a series of misleading stories and false allegations, which have been reported on by many people, creators, and news outlets. My legal team has begun taking action against those who've spread misinformation and or created completely fake stories, as this has gone too far. Which is fine, but then he tried to like use that as a way to wipe the rest of the slate clean too.
Well, and it's kind of worked. I think that either people don't like James Charles and they don't remember exactly why, or they have just gotten to the point where they always supported him behind the scenes and now they're doing so publicly. But that's essentially why we're talking about it today, because a couple weeks ago we saw the PR launch of Painted, and it was James Charles going around giving Painted cans. One of the people that he gave PR to was Manny MUA. And Manny MUA has his own long history of controversy. He was part of Dramageddon, wasn't he? Like the first Dramageddon, not the second one with James Charles. He was in that picture with Gabriel Zamora, Laura Lee, where they were like flipping off the camera and saying like, bitch is mad because we're better without him. And then it was the whole launch of their
It was like why Jeffrey started hating the beauty community.
Well, it was also like all their tweets were exposed, their old tweets and like crazy shit that they had to apologize for. Laura Lee's infamous apology, hello. But it turns out Manny has been supporting James all these years, and James goes up to him in his PR video and gives him a big old hug and a smooch on the cheek, and they're all buddy buddy and he supports him. But he goes a step further to actually sit down on his TikTok, okay, and review Painted. And then when people call it out for, I think it was the brown shade being patchy, he doubled down and put out a new video where he was showing it's not patchy, it's just my vitiligo on my eyes. If a brand gives you something and you're using something and it doesn't look amazing on your eyes, like, you don't really care. It's not your brand. You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, whatever.
People think it's patchy. Go to bat for them.
And I see it all the time, like in my friend Kathleen's YouTube comments, where people will have their own feelings about how a product performs on her or something. And even if she likes it, is she gonna put out a new video and be like, this mascara is good? Like, you know, like nobody does that. So he did that for his good friend James, and he put out another video just just saying that it wasn't patchy, it was his vitiligo, blah, blah, blah. And people came for his neck, obviously, some people, but James does weirdly have a ton of support on TikTok. Like, if you look at his comments, it is very good comments for the most part.
I feel like it's probably a different audience that didn't follow him on YouTube, and TikTok, you like don't necessarily get to know the creators as much that you follow.
Yeah, I think that's possibly it. But people have called this out with Manny, particularly Ethan Klein. He has called Manny out for supporting James Charles.
I also have painted can.
Okay, this is so cute.
Wait. I know this guy. I think he's a fan of the show. He's a makeup dude, right?
Right, yeah.
That's Manny MUA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manny, I know. Yeah, I think you watched the show.
Manny's also a Colleen apologist.
A queen?
Colleen apologist.
Maybe he doesn't watch the show anymore. Okay, so, well, but like James is what James is doing, you can't be doing this, man. Why?
This is so cute.
Thank you, B.
And I also
you can't keep getting away with it.
And of course, a little pink can open.
It's only because of these people he does.
And they actually met at the Streamy Awards, and Manny. His podcast with Laura is something else. He was like, I wasn't full glam, so I was nervous to go up to Ethan. Because he said he wasn't nominated, so he didn't get full glam.
Why did that sound like so much like him?
He's Hispanic, too, so we have very similar accents.
Oh, okay. Because I don't even think you were trying, but it really did sound like him.
Yeah, no. But he said he wasn't even full glam because he wasn't nominated. And that made him nervous to go up to Ethan. I'm like, girl, like, you're good.
He would go to the stream, he's not full glam.
I said, no, I'm not nominated. Why the hell am I going to go full glam?
I thought you were saying you weren't going to go meet him and say hello because you weren't nominated. And I was literally like, why?
I'm not nominated, Laura.
Why
I can't not? Do it. So I went up to them and they were so sweet and so kind and so nice. And it was really nice to meet them because I'm a huge fan of Teddy Fresh.
Yeah.
Like I wore Teddy Fresh literally all the time. I'm obsessed with the brand. So it was just like really nice to meet them. They were so nice and so sweet. I was nervous because recently Ethan had talked negatively about me. So I was like,
And was he sweet in real life?
So sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet. Because, you know, obviously, like, I have relationships with people that he doesn't agree with me having relationships with, or just in general. So I was just like, okay, like, I totally understand where someone's coming from.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to say hello because I did feel like he's still a good person.
And you didn't want, like, a beat. Like, you didn't want, like, any weirdness.
No, and the thing is, it's, like, not even weird for me. Like, I totally understand. So I went up to them, I said hello, and they were so sweet and so kind, and appreciated their kindness.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he met Ethan, and he talks about in the podcast how he was nervous to meet Ethan because Ethan has talked about his association with someone, and he even validates in that podcast that he understands why Ethan has concerns about his association with people. He was referencing James Charles without saying the name, and like the comments and people calling it out are like, oh, so you understand, but you don't understand. Like, you're still gonna do it. Like, you understand, but you're just gonna still continue to support him publicly. It's just bullshit. Like, he knows, and everybody that associates with him knows.
They're just hoping that everyone else forgot.
The thing is, like, so many people have experienced cancellations on the internet. Everyone has to a certain degree if they've been on the internet long enough, but there are degrees to this. And I think that James Charles is pretty much on the top tier of shit you do not associate with, because it's like, not like an old tweet, which he has those two old tweets that are bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there are plenty of reasons why you cannot like James Charles, but these are the ones that you should not be publicly affiliated with him.
To still choose to associate with him is kind of crazy, but there was one in particular that we saw Nick Snyder and Dustin Daly tweeting about yesterday, because Peter Mann, a fellow drama channel, put out a video of influencers that he was needing to unfollow. He had to like go through and unfollow people who were supporting James Charles. And there was one person on there that people kind of lost their shit because it's someone that nobody has any clue why they would support James Charles. And that is Raw Beauty Christie.
I actually don't know very much about her because, as I've said in the past, I'm not super into the makeup community, as you might be able to tell. But I know that people are especially mad. One, she's just normally very unproblematic and people wouldn't expect that from her. But then also that she's very, like, children.
She is an extremely breath of fresh air in the beauty community, to where she's very like real about the way that she approaches it. Everybody else, it does feel kind of difficult watching people who are like, they'll put like two dots of concealer and be like, there's your fresh everyday look. You're like, bitch, I would look haggard as fuck. Like, it's hard to relate to people that are so perfect, quote unquote. And she's so real about like if something looks like shit or like, I don't know, she's just a really, really honest person. And she's also really funny and very charismatic and very likable. And Peter says he noticed that she was following James Charles for a long time, but he didn't really necessarily associate that directly with like, it's kind of like, I know I don't want to bring it up because you're going to get shit again, but when you follow Donald Trump.
I probably still do. But like, I think I follow James Charles right now. But also now, like, I actually saw Nick Snyder tweeting about this, that especially for, I mean, I was going to say, would you call us a drama channel? Yeah, we're a drama channel. Like, that's why I feel like I follow some people, because I just like want to know what's happening. It's not, it doesn't equate supporting
endorsement
them.
Yeah.
And even Nick says that following them is one thing, but as soon as you're publicly liking their stuff, that says something different. And I'm definitely not publicly liking James' stuff.
Peter talked about that in his video. He used to follow influencers to keep tabs with them because he has a drama channel, and he said he even no longer is doing that because it's just too much for him, but he understands why other people do it. Now, for me, like, if someone went through my Instagram list or Twitter, honestly, for that matter, I would be horrified if they found someone, because I do not use those apps almost ever. If I go on Instagram, it's to check people's stories. I never scroll through my feed. I don't know half of the people I follow, probably more than that. So I would be horrified if people went through my following list and found people that were problematic, because I'd be like, well, I didn't even fucking know I was still following them. So that's not what we're talking about here.
Because also, like, I'm someone that very much does not actively unfollow people.
Right.
Like, I could literally, like, get in a fight with you and I wouldn't,
like, jump to go
and like, I need to go unfollow them right now. Like, I would just forget.
Apparently, Raw Beauty Christie has been liking James Charles' posts. And I mean, some people are going to look at that and be like, well, so what? It's just a like. Maybe her finger slipped. But the overwhelming response that I've seen from people who are Raw Beauty Christie fans is just incredible disappointment for someone that really is a good person. She's very sweet and all of the, you know, characteristics that I just stated. But fuck, girl, why the fuck are you liking James Charles' pictures? There's no need to support him publicly.
I have to say that after everything I looked at last night, Raw Beauty Christie might be my biggest disappointment in 2023, okay? And now, this is a situation where I have loved Christie. She's been very supportive of me for years. I've been very supportive of her. I thought she was the real deal for a long time, okay? I don't know what her need is to continue to follow him and like him. I don't know why she can ride so hard for Colleen Ballinger, but she can support openly and publicly a self-proclaimed predator, okay? Christie knowingly knows, because she even says in the video about the downfall of the beauty industry and all the people that started that, she knows what James Charles did. She knows his contribution. She knows that that was why, okay? So she takes such issue with all of that, and she takes issues with Colleen Ballinger, but she's still liking and supporting James Charles. I was hoping that she would do the right thing, but after looking thoroughly and closely and see that she still supports him and his brand, I couldn't follow her anymore. And I really like her, and she's always been nice to me, but I just can't, you know? So, I mean, are you the real deal, Christie? Because I always loved you because I thought you were the real deal, okay? Are you the real deal? Or are you a predator protector? Because you have a lot to say about Colleen Ballinger, but you don't have anything to say about James Charles? I mean, that bothers me.
Oh, God. Someone said, did you see Peter Mon's newest video? She called him. She says she does not support James and is making a new video, and Peter's going to follow her again after she makes the video.
What?
I don't know. Oh, wait, no. So then there's a follow-up. You see Twitter. That says, he says it'll take more than just that for him to follow her again, that it'll take time for her actions to show more than just a video to denounce him. So I guess Raw Beauty Christie called Peter Mon after his video came out, calling her out, because she is like a Peter Mon fan and she does watch his videos. I do know that. She's been a supporter for a while.
Because she asked me if I was going to follow her again. I said, I can't. Not until you take action that follows whatever you have to say, if you choose to come out and say this. And she goes, well, right now, because I know that you believe in your stance, if you followed me, I would probably soft block you. And so you were forced to unfollow me. Because she said, I don't want you to do something just because you feel like you have to do it. I said, and she goes, and I hope you don't feel like me reaching out to you as being manipulative. I said, Christie, if you knew the amount of influencers that have reached out to me to explain their stance, and really she was asking me for my advice, is what she was doing. because she didn't want anything to look performative, and she wanted to come out and explain her stance. And I said, girl, just be honest with your audience. People appreciate that. Just get in a video and be honest with your audience. And she said, well, I've got to think this through. And I respect that. I think things through that I talk about in my videos, right? Anyway, she goes, well, I hope you don't think that I'm trying to manipulate you behind the scenes. I go, girl, there's nothing that you can say that would manipulate me, because I'm going to stick to my guns. I cannot call out these 10 people, but not call you out for the exact same things. I won't do it. This is too important of a situation for me. James Charles and Colleen Ballinger, I said, I don't understand how you can side against Colleen Ballinger, but side with James Charles. And she said, well, I didn't know all the information. She was educating herself today, watching videos and reading articles and things like that. And a lot of it, I sincerely believe she didn't know about, right? She has since educated herself. She was totally gracious to me. She said she had a lot of things to think about. She did tell me that she didn't believe that she could continue to support James Charles after all that she found out by the education that she had done today. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess she told him she doesn't support James, but like, I really wonder what that means.
Tana.
Yeah. Tana's liking all his pictures.
Tana's Todrick.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Joey Graceffa likes like all his pictures. Someone I knew from Vine likes his pictures. What the fuck, guys?
Ashley Schwan.
Oh my god. Dude, what the hell?
Lord DIY liked one. Damn it, guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who support him publicly. That's kind of wild. I'm not gonna lie. Patrick Starr, like, this is insane.
Interesting.
Nikki Tutorials liking his posts. But you know what? The one that pisses me off the most is Tana Mojo. Because how are you gonna say he's scary and that you've been manipulated by him and that he absolutely, like, she, I wanna say, has even sat down and been like, oh yeah, like, he's into kids. Like, this is fucked. Like, literally super explicitly. And now, what, girl? Like,
the James Charles shit. Yeah, I mean, you haven't heard about this.
I have not heard about
this. I've been, like, notoriously, like Snapchatting underage boys.
Grooming 14-year-old boys. Was it younger boys who, like, actually, like, outed him? Or was it, like...
Yes, a lot of them.
Really?
Like, 14-year-old
And so
boys.
Why is he still, like, out and about? Like, what's going on? Is
the
he going to go to jail?
The other night, I was, like, walking into a party, and he was outside. Couldn't get in. Super fun for me. Loved that. Wow. But eventually, he got in, and I was just like, oh, my... Like, how are you... Like, I've been canceled 100 times, dude. And, like, yeah. I'm going to come back like a cockroach. It's fucking fine. Like, people get canceled. That's chill.
Yeah, you're not hitting up fucking 12-year-olds.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
doing,
different.
Like, actual, like, insane illegal and immoral shit. It is interesting to me. But also, who am I to, like, be the police?
I mean, that's just the thing, though. There's a difference between, like, immoral and, like, you know, maybe, like, a questionable judgment and, like, something that's straight up illegal. You feel me? And, like, fucking...
But it seems
you can't
like a reoccurring theme.
Solicit
here,
nudes
honestly,
from underage
break
kids.
Other
though.
Laws. Like, rob a bank. I'll look away.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing is, I don't think there's a problem... Well, I mean, in this situation, it's a little different, but, normally I don't think there's, like, an issue with changing your mind or, like, changing your viewpoint, but it's that Tana gets... She's, like, so confident and, like, certain in her viewpoint, and then suddenly she's so confident and certain in the exact opposite.
I know. It's mind-blowing.
Tana.
Training orders are off.
Why are... Okay, no comment. Tana, why, man? Why? They're, like, fully back. Tana and James are back. Tana I ran into. She says... She's like, I'm so sorry about the James Charles thing. I'll call in and disavow him.
Whoa, really?
Well, she's like, it was a huge mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, whoa.
Well, I was like...
I was a little bit sour over that.
Well, because I was like, why would you go be back and be friends with him? I don't understand.
Hmm.
And she's like, I don't know why I did it. I regret it, and I don't understand why I did it. I'll call in and disavow.
I love that.
I love her.
That's so awesome.
I like Tana.
That's like so much more than anyone else in his circles ever done.
That's true.
Like, even
that's
people awesome. Who used to associate with him hasn't really said anything about it. They just silently moved away. I like that a lot.
Interesting. As I'm looking for Rob Beauty Christie's alleged apology, I'm seeing people reference a Notes app apology a lot. I came across this Twitter thread, and it's a deleted tweet from James Charles. So I don't know what the initial tweet was, but it was during one of his controversies in 2017. Which one was that one? Was it the Ebola? Was it the...
Hold. Well, it goes from February to September, but February was the Ebola one. September is the It. Him, like, dissing the movie It.
Oh, interesting. So she responded to James, whatever he said at the time, and said, James, I am truly sorry you deal with these weird, obsessively hateful people. You gave your sincere apologies, so it's all on them. If they want to live hating someone they don't know for something they can't forgive, sad story, but fine. Wallow in your hatred. Again, sorry you have to deal with it. Some people need to get off social media and go exist around society to learn some couth.
Raw Beauty Christie said that?
She sure did in 2017 to James Charles.
This article, literally the last thing that would have been referring to is the Ebola thing.
It's not even like I'm blaming her because I don't know what she was talking about. But like, it's interesting that kind of verbiage because I'm like, I sincerely hope she was not saying that to him nowadays, or like whatever, think the same thing for this kind of situation. So apparently what Peter Mon said in his last video that he uploaded was that Raw Beauty Christie saw his video calling her out for following and liking James Charles' posts. She asked him if they could have a phone conversation, and they did have a phone conversation. He said he does not want to get into like the specifics because she did say that she was going to come out and address this, and he told her she should do it in a video, and I think she agreed and says that she's going to make a video addressing it. But from what he said, she wants to unfollow James Charles. And basically, he says that, like, she implied that a lot was, like, brought to light from watching his video, which would give the, like, idea to me that she didn't fully understand what James Charles did before this, to which I have to call bullshit on just because she is... we follow each other on Twitter, and she is extremely involved in like consuming internet drama. I'm not saying like, you know, like she's up to date with everything. She just tweeted about 8 passengers like 2 days ago.
Well, because I was going to say, which could be true, because I know that there are some people that are not as chronically online as us. But if you say that that is not the case.
Over the years, I always remember Raw Beauty Christie like on my timeline, kind of commenting on the bigger stories that happen online. Like she's not one of those like, I have no idea what's going on. Like she's really not. I would find it very difficult to believe that she wouldn't understand the full gravity of what happened with James Charles when he's directly in her community that she's a part of, the beauty community. I don't know.
The amount of times I will be holding my phone with it like unlocked and I like do, I'll like send random, I feel like I've sent you random stuff. What always happens is those fucking signatures in the texts, those always send, and I'll look down and it's like, congratulations, happy birthday. And I'm like, what? That would be so, I mean, it wouldn't be funny, but like, wouldn't it be funny if she like didn't even mean to like it?
Well, that's not immediately what she said. Like, if that would have been my case, I would have been like, dude, absolutely not. Like, I must have ass liked it. Like, seriously, I know that's like my dog ate my homework, but
like, actually that happened to me recently. I accidentally liked a message someone sent. Sent you that conversation. And if they were like, will you like that message? I was like, that was an accident.
Yeah, it could happen. But anyway, that's pretty much it.
But is it ever really just it for us, at least? No, because stuff always happens after we're done filming. Anyway, so had Christie just like stayed quiet while she was kind of coming up with whatever she was going to do to respond to this, I think it would have been different. But that's not what she did. She instead just kept posting as if nothing was wrong. And when people started commenting about it, she started deleting comments and then blocking those people that left the comments about it, which included like her longtime subscribers. So yeah, safe to say things have escalated, and also safe to say Peter's not thrilled.
You better just get in a video and say, absolutely, I follow James Charles, I liked his pictures, I knew what was going on behind the scenes, and I still did it anyway. And you know what? When you know better, you do better, and I'm not going to anymore. And I unfollowed him, and I'm not going to support him anymore. End of video. That's it. And let your people vote with what they think, okay? Raw Beauty Christie is helping put money in the pocket of a predator. I'm sorry, Christie, you don't like the term predator protector, but you are literally protecting the career of somebody that is a self-proclaimed predator. I don't know what you don't see about that.
As of this very moment, which is pretty late on Friday, she has still not addressed it directly. So I guess we will see.
I don't know what the like summary of it all is. It's just weird behavior that I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for. I don't know. I don't like it. But, you know, if Robert E. Christie responds by the time we put this up, we'll, you know, give a little update on her apology. But otherwise, it's just like, girl, just learn from it and move on. I'm not saying we need to, like, bring out the guillotine here, okay? Like, it's really not that serious either. Like, it is serious because it's like, fuck, why would you support James Charles after everything? And, like, while we were looking into, like, Reddit threads and stuff throughout this episode, which we cut for sure, but while I was looking for things, I saw the, like, uncensored versions of the pictures that James Charles sent to that 16-year-old. And, like, I actually almost threw up. Like, it is, like, explicit booty pictures and, like, him showing his armpits and saying, like, it would take you 30 seconds to just post, give me a picture like this. Like, pressuring this kid for a picture. And it's just really disturbing. So it's, like, it's not like this, it's not like he just made a fucking mistake. He has always been overly pushy in sexual situations. And we've seen a bunch of situations like that where I'm just like, dude, just everyone, can we all just stay away from him? I'm not saying he can't do anything, like, he can't start a brand, but we don't have to support it.
And I think it's interesting because he definitely tries to put a lot of the blame on, like, I didn't know about power dynamics and stuff, and I didn't understand that. But it's like, he's always under, I mean, maybe he didn't understand it technically, but it's like, he's always taken advantage of it. And even now when we see screenshots of stuff even more recently, I don't have an example to pull up, but that it's very much him being like, this is what I have to offer. And it's him being like, I have money and a house and this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like giving them this like checklist of things that he thinks have value to other people instead of like, you know, having a conversation and getting to know someone and seeing if they're interested in maybe like, if they're even looking for someone to date. But instead he just is like, hi, I'm available. These are my qualifications that I need and here's what I have and now you're gonna date me, right? It's like, not everyone that wants a plane ticket is gonna date you.
Well, one thing that James definitely wasn't lying about was being desperate. Everything he's done shows that. Like, he absolutely, when it comes to dating, my God. And the fact that he does have money, he's a good looking guy, and he does have so much trouble finding a partner, I'm like, that's interesting. But anyway, that's basically it. I guess we'll see where that goes. But what a disappointing development. Just a lot of people supporting him. A lot of people that I follow, I'm just like, wow, okay, well, time to do some scrubbing on my Instagram, I think. Anyway, we have one more topic and then we shall be done. And that is Burning Man.
So Burning Man, if you don't know, it's a music, would you call it a music festival? I think it's just like a fest, like an arts festival, technically.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit more, or it tries to be more independent from like the ultras and, you know,
well, because it's very different, because like, yeah, it's not as commercialized like that. You still have to buy a ticket to go, but the way it works is they set it up in the middle of the desert. It's Black Rock, the city, I think. It's in Nevada.
You know what's really funny is that we covered Burning Man last year, and do you remember why?
Yeah, because that's why I wanted, that's the thing that's kept popping into my head when I wanted to bring it up. Could you imagine if Deaf Noodles went to this Burning Man?
With his assistant? Yeah.
Oh my God, literally, and got stuck there? Oh God. For her sake, I'm glad that didn't happen. But basically, it happens in Black Rock Desert, which is in Nevada, and it's just like this giant playa of just like emptiness. It's just this like vast open area, and what
they
do.
Did you say playa?
Yeah.
Like beach? Playa is beach in Spanish.
Yeah, we're sponsored by Babbel, I know.
Playa is the term used to describe sunken dry lake beds in the desert where water evaporates rather than running off. And then it says, and even a small amount of rain can quickly soak a large area. So basically, it's this like giant open desert area, and people go and they build like a temporary city there for the duration of Burning Man. Nothing was there before. It's not like Coachella where it's at the polo fields or something. It's like literally in the middle of the desert, and people just show up and make their own place, and like everyone's camping,
trading and bartering and things like that.
Yeah, well, it's so like, that's another thing, is there's no money. It's supposed to be a big community thing, and then at the end of it they have a giant like man that they burn, Burning Man, and it's like they're like offering to, I don't know if it's supposed to be like a spiritual thing or what, but they burn like a giant thing, and it's like a huge celebration, and it's an interesting group that goes.
I've gotten in touch with a few people who have gone to Burning Man, and they do describe it, at least the past Burning Mans, as being very enlightening to a certain extent, and just like life-changing. A lot of people describe it because there are a lot of drugs usually involved too.
I was gonna say, yeah. All my friends, they just did a lot of drugs. And I know there's like a lot of complaints about the like the waste that gets left behind afterwards. Like a lot of people have a big problem with the fact that they go there and they're like messing with the geography of the area and stuff. But usually it is just like a huge, like dusty mess. Like everyone there is like, they're riding bikes to different areas, and it's like everything's far away. There's a lot of like, you're really dirty because it's just like dust storms and then
no showers,
people in campers, and that's it. Yeah. So the thing that changed this year is that it rained. And what happens to dust when it rains?
Dude, I didn't know. I had no idea. This is insane.
So Jesse pulled some TikToks to show. I haven't actually seen that many. I've more just like read about it. But I did see one video of tornadoes going on, and it literally looks like a depiction of hell. But yeah, so imagine like this huge, giant, just flat area, and then there's nowhere for the water to drain because it usually just evaporates. But there was too much rain and it couldn't evaporate, and then it was just mud.
So here are a few videos of just kind of like visuals, I guess, of the disasters that took place. It's pretty fucking insane.
To all of the people in Burning Man, I am sorry that you fell into their trap.
There has been one death at Burning Man Festival, with tens of thousands left stranded in deep mud at the Nevada desert after rain turned the festival into a swamp. Costume-clad attendees have been struggling across the wet site, some using trash bags as makeshift boats, while many vehicles were stuck in the sludge.
Look at that car.
All events
it's
at
like
the festival
I have
drew
seen
some 70,000 people
seen,
were cancelled.
Look at
police
the fucking
said there
Jesus.
Was only one death, without giving further details. Road gates in and out of the Black Rock City venue were closed, but some desperate attendees trudged on foot for hours to reach the nearest road and hitch a lift out. A video online even showed comedian Chris Rock hitching a ride in the back of a pickup truck with Diplo after managing to escape. Organizers have urged festival goers to conserve food, water, and fuel and shelter in a warm, safe space.
It's interesting how the rich people always manage to escape, isn't it? It's giving Titanic.
No, but literally them talking about how people are like trudging across the desert. That would be me. I would be like, fuck no, I am not staying here.
I mean, there's so many fucking details that I want to know. Why would they close the road? Hello? People need to get the fuck out of there. Like, what was Burning Man doing to help that situation?
Speaking completely out of my ass right now, I would think, like how I brought up earlier, that people don't like Burning Man because of the waste situation. I also think that seeing what that truck or the what that Jeep was like,
buried
like stuck in the that trying to get out of it when it's all muddy like that is gonna mess up the terrain and it's gonna like start digging holes and it's just gonna fuck things up more. So maybe they were trying to prevent that. I don't know how you really stop people from leaving something that, like, as I said, it's just like an open desert, so it's like they're just gonna go not on the road then.
Well, and if people's car gets stuck, that's on them. I don't know, I would be so pissed.
No, but it's that it's like messing with the integrity of the geography, like, so they would want to prevent that. That's the only thing I can imagine. Otherwise, I don't really know.
I mean, I kind of get it, but also at the same time, like, it's insane though, seeing those clips, because it's very, very shallow in some parts and you're like, oh, okay, so it got like a little muddy, and then you see a car with like literally Titanic-esque water just gushing in and you're like, oh wait, so it's like full body length water? That's like you could drown in it.
Think about that. I just read that thing that said they're dried out lake beds, so it just makes a lake. So it's like that they're driving through probably what would be a lake. But let's pull up what isn't even the water aspect of this. I sent this to Jesse because I was like, what the fuck is going on? What is this? Like, are you joking?
Obviously, those are tornadoes, but they're very skinny. Do tornadoes normally look that skinny?
I'm not super well versed in tornadoes, but don't care. I would be running for my life. Why are all these people just watching it?
That's what I texted you. I'm like, why is everyone just walking? Like, first of all, there's things on fire. Is that the man? We don't know. What was lit on fire? But even more so, there's tornadoes 2 feet away from people, and they're just like walking as if they're at the mall.
Wait.
Oh.
Awkward. Well, apparently, actually, I thought that tornado was from Burning Man, but it is not. Yeah, it says, the people of Burning Man this year are facing the opposite problem as last year. It's way too wet for a fire tornado.
I thought that. When I saw that, I was like, where's the water? Because I thought that was the main issue. So the tornadoes are from last year? The internet, bro. Why does it have to make everything so convoluted and complicated to keep up with?
I mean, fuck. Regardless of when that's from, that is one of the craziest videos I've ever seen.
I know. Like, if it wasn't interesting to see, I would have been like, let's just cut it all, but I think we
should leave
the tornadoes.
Yeah, but it's fucking insane. Like, that looks like CGI, like the end of the world is happening.
There is one more TikTok that shows the water damage. It's kind of the same shit that we just watched, but look at that porta potty. Like, people trying to push RVs out. There was traffic for hours and hours and hours and hours to even get out. Like, you do get out, you like hike for miles and miles and miles and miles, and then what? Then someone comes and picks you up in hours of traffic. Like,
literally.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Oh my God, I just can't imagine the anxiety I would be feeling.
People were comparing it to the Fire Festival, and yeah.
For sure. I feel like it's just, like, even though the Fire Festival, they were, like, stuck on an island, so I feel like that's more drastic, obviously. This weather situation seems way worse. The Fire Fest thing was just that they didn't have the infrastructure to, like, support a festival.
Right.
This is, like, people should not have been outside.
My question is, there has to be an extreme amount of accountability on the people who organize this event, because weather is absolutely something we can predict. Like, at least far ahead enough that you can cancel and tell people to go the fuck home before it rains. Like, it's not something that just pops up and we didn't know about it. So the CEO or whoever the fuck of Burning Man needs to be held responsible for this.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because that actually, unfortunately, plays into kind of the theory of Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of the dumbest humans ever, who went on Alex Jones's podcast. She's tried to push the conspiracy theory now that this was like a government thing. I don't know if it's that they let it happen or that they like caused it to happen, because a lot of people say that the government has like weather controlling kind of tools that
totally, because you could just turn in circles fast enough where you create two tornadoes that just rummage through people.
That one seems like maybe it was a unpredicted byproduct, but like that if they like created, I don't know, this is all just completely, I don't think this is true. Basically, Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying that it was a tactic of the government, because there's 75,000 people, I guess, were stuck there.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
Is it really
insane,
that many?
I guess, which is unreal. Oh my God. But that her theory is that the government had something to do with it, or whether they didn't tell people or whether they caused it. Basically, they wanted those 75,000 people to get stuck there. So then when they finally did get home, they would be like, you guys, global warming is real. And that it would be like the thing that would get them like to advocate against things that cause worse global warming.
I almost fell asleep while you were describing
it. It was also stupid. I'm like, bitch. I was like watching her say all of it, and I'm like, bitch, people already know that global warming is real though. Like, you're the only like, you and your friends say it's not, but we didn't need Burning Man to say that. And I don't think the people that got stuck in Burning Man are gonna suddenly become like really pro-environment. Like, it's not all there for me.
I literally can't with people like her. It's just like, bitch, just go outside. Like, literally 2 weeks ago, you couldn't go outside because your skin would melt off. So, okay, global warming's not real. Bye, see you never. Like, I can't.
Well, that's the fact that she's acting like they needed Burning Man to do that. I'm like, I don't think that that's necessary. We haven't even talked about it because there was other things going on that needed our attention. But I was a little distracted a couple weeks ago because, you guys, the earthquake that happened. I have lived in California, I guess, aside from my 4 years at college, which I even came back during the summer. But I've been here all 33 years. Scariest earthquake I've ever experienced. And actually, Jesse was on FaceTime with me, and I weirdly was sitting in this chair, which I never sit in unless we're filming.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
All I remember was you, like, we were talking, just regular conversation, and Lily just blood-curdling scream, and I hear things crashing everywhere, and I'm just like...
Because also, earthquakes, I don't know, I feel like you either are very familiar with them, or you've, like, never experienced them, and I have experienced quite a few living in California my whole life, but they're never usually scary. Like, they're just kind of like, oh, like things shake a little and it stops. But the thing that is scary about all earthquakes is that once they start, you're just not, like, you have no clue when it's going to stop. Sometimes it can be like 10 seconds, sometimes it can be 30 seconds. And this one started, and I don't even think I felt the shaking as much as I heard everything. Jesse said it sounded like the house was gonna collapse.
Well, I actually thought either, like, because there was also simultaneously a hurricane hitting you guys. So I thought either the hurricane blew in your sliding glass door or a car crashed into your house. Like, those were the two things my brain went to.
I'm gonna take a picture to show you guys what I'm looking at right now. Because the TV that I use as my monitor, that started falling down. And I'm just like, oh no, my TV. But then also, I have all these fucking lights. I was in probably the worst possible spot to be in during an earthquake. And then my immediate thought is like, oh my God, my dog. So I had to go out there. And then I find that literally, I just moved 2 months ago. And so none of my stuff was even like fully hung up. It was like leaning against the wall. It's all broken. Glass everywhere.
Yeah, a lot, bro.
And usually I feel like earthquakes that I've experienced haven't caused things to break. This was like a lot of damage. It was like everything fell, and like even my sliding doors that weren't locked, they opened. Like, it was insane. I don't know where I was going. Oh, just like global warming and the world ending and stuff. But like, also at the same time, like, no one was expecting a fucking earthquake because we had a hurricane, which
California doesn't have hurricanes.
Does that happen? Yeah. Like, even people before that, it was like there were news reports being like, make sure you have your emergency kits ready, have a crank radio. And I'm like, what?
And the fact that Lily and I were like both going through it, I think also simultaneously both had our periods. Didn't I text you and I say, I'm like, I think someone has a voodoo doll of us or some shit. Like, I think,
well, I didn't even mention
a curse
that there was that earthquake, which I don't even know what the, like, what strength it was, but I was in the epicenter. So that was fun. It was like 2 miles away from where I live. Furthermore, there were 15
aftershocks. Literally, we texted for like 2 days. You're like, it's still going. Like, and literally every single time it would happen, you would hear it first. And I'd be like, oh no. And I'd like make, me and my dog would like make eye contact from across the room and be like, oh shit.
But the best part is you guys weren't hurt. And like when I heard all that glass shatter and then you weren't next to Max, I was like, oh my God, what if the fucking glass got him? Like,
it could have too. Like, I think he was either sleeping on my bed, so it was fine, or he was outside. But thank God, because oh my God, I would not be okay. Then I was still on the phone with Jesse and I'm like seeing everything's broken. I already, like, we had stuff going on that I already wasn't doing great about. So then that happens and I literally just had like a single tear.
Yeah, your face looked so defeated. I felt so bad because also a concern of mine in several situations of yours is that you're there alone. I feel like that's the scary part for it all, because it's like nobody's that close to you. I mean, your mom's like not too far, but it's like you have to deal with all that shit alone. And also we were not doing well mentally. And I'm just like, oh God, Lily, she's gonna fucking freak out.
And then I just go out and like all of my belongings are just shattered.
Like, I was honestly like, just hoping, I was like, oh, please don't snap, Lily. Please hold on tight to life, girl. Like, I need you here.
Well, and it's like not even as much that like the stuff was broken. Like, yeah, that sucks. It's like most of my home decor actually now I feel like needs to be replaced. But more than that, it was just like, I'm so tired. I don't want to clean this up. Like, are you kidding?
The good thing about earthquakes, though, is that doesn't, like, when they happen, don't they, like, relieve the pressure between the tectonic plates and, like, it won't happen for a long time? Isn't that a thing?
I don't know if that's really the case. And also, the whole thing with aftershocks is, like, especially the one right after, like, do you know if it's an aftershock or is it just going to be a whole nother, like, huge earthquake? Because sometimes they'll get, like, more intense. Luckily, they did not. So, the house is still standing and I just have some broken mirrors and
pictures. But other natural disasters, like, this one at Burning Man. The people that did get out had to live through a fucking nightmare. And the ones that didn't, I think it's only that one fatality. It's just like completely heartbreaking. You go to a fucking festival, some rain just ends your life. Like, that's just unfathomable. And I feel horrible for them and their family and everyone. And you don't play around with Mother Nature. But to that I say, the CEO is on, like, that's their fault. Because, yeah, some people check the weather and stuff, but, like, I'm sorry, nobody has any reason to believe in Nevada or California or wherever that it's gonna fucking rain, because it, like, never rains there.
Oh, and they even closed the airport.
Oh my God. Can you fucking imagine? Like, you finally
fucking get to the airport. I would be losing my mind.
Literally. Like, there's no, that is a fucking nightmare beyond belief, because I can't even imagine the hotels around there.
They're like, aren't even hotels though. They're in the middle of nowhere. Like, I think of even like the anxiety that I felt at Coachella when like there was really bad Uber situations where it was just like people everywhere and you couldn't get a car. That made me stressed and I could walk a mile and like go get a ride somewhere. No, this is like, you could walk as far as you want, but I don't really know what's going to happen once you get there.
Dude, that's fucking insane. Like, every step of the way for these poor people was completely hijacked and just like closed off. That would drive me insane. I am interested to see like when they get home and like everyone can fucking recover people's stories about this, because this is insane.
This article that I'm reading on the Mirror brings up Chris Rock, and apparently he took to Instagram to share a revolting report that the porta potties were then unable to get emptied due to the situation.
Oh, well, that brings me to something that I was going to talk about, but I'm now going to move to another episode just because I feel like it needs a lot more like time and attention, and we don't have that today. So we got to end it here. But Chris Rock, in that clip that we watched, he was in the back of a pickup truck with Diplo. And when I saw him, my mind like jumped to all of these videos that I've been seeing about Diplo on TikTok and interviews of people accusing Diplo of really, really strong things. It's very, very bad. And I just want to do it properly and with time and patience and lay it out appropriately so that we get everything correct. I do know about it. I do want to talk about it. We just need a little bit more time to do it right. And that's, I just wanted to say that so that people don't think we don't know about it.
Yeah, because Jesse brought it to my attention. The last time I heard anything about Diplo was, which I brought up, which I guess plays into this kind of, but that there was like a random girl like living with him in his guest Blackwell. House.
She is a comedian on TikTok and she lived with him when she was like 19 years old or 18, 19. Yeah. And everyone thought that was fucking weird.
Well, it was that everyone thought it was weird and they were both like posting separately being like, no, like it's like, fine. We're just buddy and it was like, pals. He was just doing her a favor, but like, that's weird.
So that is something we'll cover, but my God, there is just no shortage of Very interesting characters here.
But otherwise, I think that's it for today. Oh, did we want to read the one statement update for the pink sauce? Because people were a little upset that we had left out that apparently the company, Dave's Gourmet, had made a statement.
Let's read it, girly.
So if you guys saw our pink sauce update, we discussed how apparently Chef P has made a GoFundMe because she says that Dave's Gourmet is not paying her like
anything
royalty,
is royalties? What she was kind is of alleging. Yeah, I guess it would be. But like she said, she hasn't seen any money from it, essentially.
Yeah, and she said she was financially sabotaged by the company. Dave's Gourmet is the company that basically bailed her out by buying her like very sketched out operation in which she was making the pink sauce at home and wasn't refrigerating it properly, and she had a bunch of backlash for a number of reasons. But they basically bailed her out and they started manufacturing it, and then she just recently had come out and said that they weren't paying her any of it and she was like going bankrupt and she needed money to help feed her kids. Well, when we covered that, we didn't see that Dave's Gourmet had put out a statement, and apparently they said that they have paid her over $120,000 and continue to make all of the payments as due.
Is that just their word? Did they show proof?
A representative for Dave's Gourmet provided this following statement in response to Shaw's post. Dave's Gourmet has adhered to the terms of the agreement with Ms. Shaw. We disagree with Ms. Shaw's allegations. Dave's Gourmet has paid Chef P over $120,000 to date and continues to make all payments as due and on time upon the terms of the contract. We've offered to reimburse Ms. Shaw for her lawyer's time to go over the terms of the agreement and how it relates to payments that were made to Ms. Shaw. She indicated that she's open to an amicable resolution of the dispute and the parties are in discussions.
What? See, okay. I mean, I don't know what the fuck that actually even means. You know, she's open to a resolution of the dispute.
Yeah, like what's the, there is no dispute though if they're telling the truth.
That seems a little contradictory to me just because they're saying we've paid everything on time, but then also you want to reimburse her lawyer fees and want to come to an agreement with her. So you're acknowledging the dispute is valid enough for you to cover her lawyer fees to discuss it. Weird. I don't actually know that that changes a whole lot for me. Like, I'm like, okay, I hear you, but also people were commenting on that video as if they had like posted like proof that they paid her. They're saying they paid her, and I don't, I mean, if they said it, cool, I hope they did, but that's also not like 100%. Proof, yeah. Yeah, like that's just not proof. I would think that, I don't know, I feel like people were just presenting it as if it was a little bit more ironclad than it is, but I mean, cool, I hope they paid her.
I kind of think I maybe forgot how much people like don't like her.
Oh yeah, people really don't like her. I mean, we covered that in her GoFundMe comments. I mean, it's pretty clear,
but we were like kind of surprised, and people were like, well, no shit, she's the worst, and like in our comments then like reiterating basically what the people were saying, and that wasn't that weird.
People were saying it wasn't that weird that people donated to be absolute haters. Like, it's literally like, if she really is that bad, which I'm not even saying she's not, why would you agree with paying her to give a negative comment? Like, just leave that on her TikTok. Like, I don't know. That's weird to me.
That's pretty much it. They claim they paid her, and honestly, I don't really care either way. Just wanted to give you guys an update in case you were invested.
Anyway, that's all we have for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, if you made it to the end, we really appreciate you. And yeah, that's it. We will see you on Monday on time.
Enjoy the new end card that I made, you guys.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yay, Lily. Okay, bye.
Thanks.